Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for another day of life. We come to you this evening, Lord, with this request, asking for prayer for our brother, Samuel Ramirez, and his wife, Diane, and daughter, Zoe. We're all battling the COVID-19 virus at this time, where Brother Ramirez is hospitalized in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. We ask, Lord, that you be with him and his family. Pray, Lord, that you are able to deliver them from this illness, and pray that they're able to improve and have a reasonable portion of their health so that Brother Ramirez can once again proclaim the gospel of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering from the COVID-19 virus, whether they be members of your son's church or those who are non-members who need to hear the truth. Lord, we ask that you bless us all with an opportunity, Lord, to have a cure for this vaccine if it be your will. But pray, Lord, in the midst of this pandemic, many souls be restored and see that you are the answer to all of our problems, and you have given us this answer in your son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, be with Brother Cook this evening. Give him a ready recollection of those things he has studied and prepared. Pray, Lord, he preaches the gospel in such a way that someone is able to hear it, have it cut them to the heart, that they may ask that question just as they did in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Men and brethren, what must I do? Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Brother Flunder, we want to thank everyone. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this call. We thank you for being on the call tonight. We're so thankful to have each and every person that are on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Tonight, we are very excited to have our speaker on tonight. We pray now that you take your Bible and open it up and take notes of the things our speaker will talk about tonight and pay particular attention as it pertains to the saving of your soul. That's what this whole program is about, this whole outreach is about, saving souls. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I want you to listen carefully to what Brother Cook will talk about. Our speaker is a native of Baltimore. He currently serves as minister of the Laurel Church of Christ in Laurel, Maryland. So we're excited to have him on tonight. And the topic we've assigned to him is, have you not read about the 3,000 were saved? Well, let us all give ear to Brother Cook at this time. Brother Cook.
Good evening to everyone. And above all, we want to acknowledge to our Father and our God in heaven that we are grateful for all of his love, mercy, and blessings. It is of his grace and mercy that God deals with us, because all that God is with us, he would still be without us. We do not make God more God than he was, is, or will be. But by contrast, all that we are is because God is. Without God, we would not be anything. King David asked long ago in Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Well, thank God, he is the God that loves his creation and is desirous that none should be lost, but that all might come to repentance. And for all of God's blessings, we ought to be eternally grateful. Now, at the outset of our examination of the Word of God tonight, I'm going to ask that you avail yourselves of a copy of the Word of God through whatever medium that might be. And if you are old school like I am, even have a piece of paper and something to write with. We want you to be able, all of us, be able to do what the Bereans did in Acts 17, verse 11, where we are told that, number one, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures whether those things were so. You know, misinformation gets started by someone not telling the truth, but it is perpetuated by people not checking to see if what they heard is in fact true. But if we will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, that God is sovereign, and that his word is true, and examine the scriptures without ancestral prejudice or the bias of personal preference, then God will lead us to a correct and clear understanding of his word. Now, having said that, we want to direct your attention this evening to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I want to get a running start at our subject, so I'm going to start reading at verse number 32. Acts 2, beginning at verse number 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Our subject for consideration tonight is, have you not read how the 3,000 were saved? And as we consider the text that we have before us here in Acts chapter 2, it is ironic that something simply and freely offered by God should be regarded with such difficulty among men. When we look at Acts chapter 2, Acts 2 is a foundational part of the message of salvation. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel of Christ Jesus is preached in its fullness for the first time. And the sum of Peter's message is found in verse number 36. Here Peter again there, Acts 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The gospel, in a nutshell, is the fact that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. Now, we find this detailed for us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Those three central facts, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and he was raised the third day so that we might have life. Now, the audience's reaction is recorded in verse number 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, let's try to identify with what is here declared in verse number 37. Undoubtedly, in this audience, there were some that had called for Jesus to be crucified. And yet these same people were looking for the Messiah. So we have in this audience those who were religious, those who were looking for the Messiah, but did not appreciate or did not accept the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was in fact that Messiah that they had been looking for. Now, we note this because it's important to appreciate that one can be religious, one can be sincere in their religion, and yet be mistaken. In this crowd, we have some folk that were mistaken and saying, give us Barabbas, and not appreciating that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. So imagine then that the anguish of their question in verse number 37, what shall we do? I imagine that it's somewhat unsettling to find out what I thought was right is in fact wrong. You know, nobody likes to be wrong or mistaken. I believe that's one of the reasons we'll argue to the contrary when we know we are wrong. And have you ever done that? Have you ever been wrong but were too stubborn or too proud to admit it? One of the times that this is true is in religion. And when it comes to religion, we must be of the mind like the Bereans, have a ready mind that accepts that God is right, that the Bible is true, and what I found in the Bible is what, in fact, I need to obey. Now, when we look at the situation that we have here in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, I submit to you that the gospel message is received in one of three ways. And I want to talk briefly about the other two before we double back to verse number 41. I submit to you, number one, that the gospel message can be regarded with indifference. Now, in your Bibles there, turn with me again. We're going to stay in the book of Acts, but turn with me to Acts chapter 17, and look with me there at verse number 32. Now, let me give you some background. Paul had preached the gospel of Christ Jesus, the same message that we're reading in Acts chapter 2. Paul had preached this to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17. Now, in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 32, the Bible says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" Now, Luke gives us some further insight to the minds of these individuals there in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 21. He says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Sometimes the gospel is regarded with indifference. To these Athenians that we read about here in Acts chapter 17, to them the gospel of Christ Jesus might as well have been the stuff of myths or of fairy tales. Somebody might as well have been reading Old Mother Goose to these individuals for the regard that they had for the word. But what we need to remember is that the word of God does not need man's endorsement to be true. In John 12 and verse number 48, Jesus declared, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And so while there are those that regard the word with indifference, it is nonetheless true, and it is the standard by which all men will be judged in the final day. Now, looking further here in Acts chapter 5, we will find that when it comes to the gospel of Christ Jesus, that while some will regard it with indifference, others can reject the gospel madly. In Acts 5 and verse number 28, there it is declared, Acts 5:28, in your Bibles, saying, "Did we not straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Now, in Acts chapter 5, the apostles were again preaching the message of Christ Jesus. And there were those that had rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and rather than turn from their wrong way, they decided that the message was altogether unpleasant, and not only did they not want to hear it anymore, but they didn't want the apostles preaching the gospel anymore. In fact, in verse number 40, now after they had been counseled by one of their own to let the apostles go, if what the apostles were doing was of man, it was simply a fad, and time would take care of it. But if, in fact, they were men of God and they were preaching the message of God, then no one could withstand what they were doing. Now, in verse number 40, Acts 5, verse number 40, the Bible says, "And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." Now, I find that interesting that one of their own should tell them that if this is of God, you can't fight against it. If it's a fad, it will just play itself out. They agree to what he says, but then notice what the Bible says. When they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Sometimes the gospel message is rejected madly. But again, what needs to be remembered is that man's displeasure with the gospel does not stop it from being true. Moreover, the gospel can be rejected now, but ultimately everyone will have to acknowledge that it is true. Now, I'm going to step one more time outside the book of Acts, but as the old preachers used to say, don't worry if I jump around in the Bible. You worry when I jump out. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 9, there Paul declares, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, the gospel is just true, whether we regard it with indifference or whether we reject it madly. In fact, it is so true that if we put together what we've considered from John 12:48 and Philippians 2:9 and 11, God knows he's true to the point where God says, I'm not even going to argue with you about the truth. Now, I give everyone a chance to obey the gospel. The gospel call goes out freely to all men, and you can accept it or reject it, but I'm not going to argue with you about whether or not I'm right. You know, nobody has ever had an argument with God. People take exception to the word of God, but God doesn't argue with us about whether or not he's right. He declares his word and then allows us to make a decision to accept or to reject. But now, if we go back to Acts chapter 2, the third way that the message can be received, the gospel message can be received gladly. So we are told there in Acts 2 in verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, the message they received is that Jesus died, that he was buried, but raised the third day for our justification. There was some, praise God, that received the word gladly. Now, to receive the message gladly is to obey what it commands without argument or fuss. But observe that those that gladly received the word didn't argue about what their relatives believed or had done. The thing that was under consideration was the gospel truth that had been preached by Peter and the rest of the apostles, and whatever else somebody else had said was whatever else somebody else had said. Not only did they receive the message gladly, meaning that they didn't argue or fuss about what they heard, they didn't even try to justify themselves based on past religious experience. You know, it's possible to have prior religious experience, but not according to the will of God. In Acts chapter 19, we read about some folk that had they had been baptized after John's baptism, but hadn't been baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. And Paul was able to tell what they were by what they had done and what they knew. And don't you know that same thing is still true today? You can tell what a person is by what they have done and what they know. See, the Bible just requires that we do certain things, and in the absence of having done these things, then we cannot be what the Bible calls us to be. Now, the question might be asked, why were they baptized? Well, listen to the word of God again here in verse number 38. Now, in verse 37, they had asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, contextually, what they were asking is, how do we make matters right with God? How do we become reconciled to God, inasmuch as we are guilty of having rejected the Messiah? Now, Peter, to whom the keys of the kingdom had been given and who had walked with Jesus, and if anybody knew what men needed to do to be saved, certainly it was Peter. He's speaking here in verse number 38 under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we follow what is demonstrated in Scripture, we will do what they did and become what they were. Now, notice it says in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, not everyone that heard the message was baptized. I don't doubt that there was some there that regarded it with indifference, that there was some there that rejected it madly. But praise God, there were about 3,000 there that received the word with gladness. They did not argue or fuss about what the Holy Spirit revealed through the mouth of the apostles. They were baptized in obedience to the command of God in heaven. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, here's something else interesting we are told about a biblical salvation experience. when we obey what the Bible teaches and when we are operating under the will of God, we don't have to join anything. When we obey the will of God, God himself will add us to his spiritual family. And perhaps there's someone out there listening, and you want to know, well, what is it I need to do today to be saved? How is it that I become reconciled to God? Well, we are no different from the folk that first heard the gospel message in Acts chapter 2. We need to hear the good news that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and raised the third day for our justification. Now, in Romans 10, verse number 17, the Bible declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you can't believe what you haven't heard. Now, if we've heard the gospel message, those basic facts, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and raised the third day for our justification, then we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In John 8, verse number 24, Jesus declared, "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Now, it's obvious when we look here in Acts chapter 2 that the people believed that very fact. Because in verse number 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." Well, why else would they be pricked if not for the fact that they believed that they had been wrong in rejecting Jesus earlier? But praise God, some of them wanted to do the right thing by receiving the gift of salvation by obedience to the gospel call. Now, if we've heard the gospel of Christ Jesus and we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we must be willing to repent of sin. And in fact, Peter says here in verse number 38, repent. And to repent means to have a change of mind that leads to a reforming of life. Now, whereas these people had said, "Give us Barabbas" earlier, they were now accepting Jesus, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, and were willing as a matter of obedience to submit themselves to the will of God. And having repented of sin, we must make the confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus declares, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." And then, having heard the word, believe Jesus to be the Christ, willing to repent of sin, and making the confession of faith in Christ Jesus, we must, as Peter here declares, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Now, God made this simple to understand. Now, when you think about those five things, we hear the gospel of Christ Jesus, we believe Jesus to be the Christ, we repent of sin, we make the confession of faith in Christ Jesus, and then we are baptized, immersed in water in Jesus' name, which means by his authority. We're reading the command here in Acts 2, verse number 38. When we do those five things as a matter of grace and mercy, God washes away our sins by the blood of Christ Jesus, indwells us with his Spirit, and adds us to the church of Christ. Now, I know there are people all around this world that have had religious experiences that don't agree with those five things. But stop and consider for a moment. Of the five things that we have mentioned, the devil himself has done all but two. The devil has done everything but Acts 2:38. Hear Peter again, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The devil has heard the message of Christ Jesus. He's even able to quote scripture as we read in the biblical account. He believes that Jesus is the Christ. He believes so much in God to the point that James tells us the devils believe also and tremble. When is the last time that you believed the word of God so that it made you shake? The devil has even made the confession that Jesus is the Christ. Do you remember in Mark chapter 5, there was a man possessed of unclean spirits, and they said, "What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are." He has done everything except repent and be baptized. Wouldn't it be tragic to show up at the judgment to say that all that I have done as it pertains to your word, Father, is that I have done what the devil did? I heard, I believed, and I confessed. But yet the gospel message declares here in Acts 2, verse 38, that we must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If you are listening to the sound of this broadcast and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then we bid you reach out to the host of this phone call, reach out to your local congregation of the Church of Christ, and tell them, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I want to be baptized this hour in his name so that the Lord can add me to the Church of Christ. Do you know they did that in the Bible? Do you know that in the Bible, the same hour that people were willing to render obedience, they were baptized in the name of Jesus and added to the body of Christ? Prayerfully, you've heard these simple facts, that Jesus is the Christ, that he died for our sins, that he was buried and raised the third day for our justification. You want to receive the word with gladness because it's able to save our souls. You are willing to submit yourselves to the command of God to repent and be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus for the remission of sins. We pray to God this evening that that is your desire and that you will reach out to the host or to your local congregation of the Church of Christ and be baptized into the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. May God bless you. May God keep you.
Thank you, Brother Cook. Appreciate you so very much for accepting our invitation, and we thank you for the message. It was plain and simple and clear. To our listening audience tonight, we're on the call, not members of the Church of Christ. We speak the truth in love. We select men like Brother Cook who can preach from the Word of God without adding to it or taking from it. We pray tonight that you will be like the 3,000 on that great day of Pentecost, that they heard that word and they believed it. They did not reject it, but they gladly received it and were baptized. We want you to be baptized. And perhaps you're on the call tonight. You've heard us many times, or maybe you've heard the first time, and you're concerned about your salvation. You want to be saved. You want to be baptized. You want to become a member of that one church you can read about in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. We want you to do us a favor. Get back with the person who invited you to call. They invited you to this call because they wanted you to hear these truths. And if you want to, if you have questions or you want a Bible class, if you desire to be baptized, let them know that. Or perhaps you can just email us at the nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's the nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make that happen for you, whatever you need to help you save your soul, whether it be a Bible class or answer questions or anything like that. Make arrangements for you, get baptized. No matter where you are, we'll take care of that for you. Now, you may want to go back and listen to Brother Cook. You want to just stop it and rewind and listen carefully, take notes, and go through your Bible for yourself. Go ahead and go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net on the World Wide Web. And there, our website, you go there to click on Sermon tab, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. All of our sermons are there. Brother Cook's sermon will be uploaded tonight. If you be online tomorrow, you'll be able to go on and download it. And not only his, but all the speakers we've had since the month of May. And on our website, you can, all the recorded messages are there. You can download them. They're free. You can listen to them and do whatever you need to do. We want to do everything we can to help you save your soul. We know people are dying every day. We're seeing this with the pandemic. It's reminding us that death is coming. We don't know when it's coming. We don't know to who it's coming. But we know that Jesus said in John 8:21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. And we want to go to heaven. And I know you do too. Let us pray to God about it. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you for Brother Cook, your manservant, allowing him to speak your word, Lord. Thank you for the Bible that you give us, your word, that we can read it and we can study it and we can teach from it and know that it's absolute truth. We love you for loving us, and we love your son for giving his life, shedding his blood on the cross, dying that humiliating death, that painful death, the suffering he went through on the cross, and that death, burial, and resurrection story called the gospel. It's a sad story of the loss of your son, but it's good news to us. We can be saved because of you and your love, because of him and his love. So we pray for our listening audience tonight. Pray for our brothers and sisters across the nation. We pray for our visitors whom we love. We pray that they have heard your word tonight they would obey it before it was eternally and everlastingly too late. We love you, Father. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we had a great night tonight. Don't miss tomorrow night. We want you to come back tomorrow night from Anchorage, Alaska, with Tony Cloud. We're talking about being saved this week, specifically in the book of Acts, where we read about the 3,000. We read about tomorrow night the Philippian jailer. Wednesday night, Brother Blackwell will talk about this, how Saul was saved. Brother Cliff Goodwin will talk about how the eunuch was saved in Acts 8. And then Brother Gary Collin, my good friend, will come back and talk. There were disciples who thought they were saved. Had to be baptized again. The disciples, second baptism. Don't miss this week. It'll be a great week. We love you all. We pray you have a great night's rest. Good night.